Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Scope. It's the only show that's part of this complete breakfast. I'm your announcer, Tony Partington. Coming up on this edition of The Scope...
All right, Jared and Shane here after a super sneak preview of the summer tentpole Green Lantern, starring Ryan Reynolds, Peter Sarsgaard, Blake Lively. It is a powerful cast, Jared.
Sounds like it, yeah.
Yeah, well, it sounds like it. So, it's difficult to do these instant reviews because you tend to come off as very polarized in one direction or the other. But we got to do it. That's the craft, if you will. And my first opinion on this movie, Jared, is that it was not a very good movie.
I agree.
That's how I would say it.
I was bored for most of it, to be honest.
I think that it hits on every superhero cliche you could find in a movie.
Yeah.
You know, you've got the Doubting Thomas character who really has the power within him to make good, but he doesn't believe in himself.
He's chosen for a greater destiny, but he's not sure if he's worthy of it.
There is the love interest who is a smart girl, but maybe not all that capable, who really sees through the hero's all his weaknesses and believes in him no matter what.
Yep.
You've got two terrible villains, one being the giant, translucent, turd alien Parallax.
There's one way to describe it.
And and it's succubine or whatever the human on Earth is who gets infected by a piece of Parallax, who is played by Peter Sarsgaard. Utterly wasted in the movie, by the way.
I thought his performance was all right, but the characterization was kind of strange. I mean, it's your typical, you know, scientist type who suddenly sees his mind powers greatly expanded. We've seen
along with his cranium and the rest of his body.
Well, there's some physical manifestations, yes.
Terrible. And by the way, in a perfect casting job, Tim Robbins is cast as his father, who maybe how much older is he than Peter Sarsgaard? I don't know.
10 years, maybe.
Maybe it was bizarre. It
very
was a bizarre cast.
A fertile young man, he must have been.
Yes, I mean it was very, very strange that particular thing.
I didn't really see the father-son resemblance, but I guess we'll just have to go with it.
No wonder the son was so angry. I mean, he looked like he was 50. The father looked like he was 40. And the relationship just did not go anywhere from there.
Yeah.
Ryan Reynolds, what did you think?
He's your standard heroic type, you know? He looks the part. I guess typically what you have to do in movies these days now is you got to have that smart-ass edge to it. And I'm admittedly not that familiar with the source material, so I don't know if that is how Hal Jordan is. The problem is we've seen it a lot.
Yeah.
So this is one of the failings I see in the film is that I think the origin is probably close to what the character's origin is.
But you got to put that crazy modern twist on it.
But we've seen it. And that's maybe... Yeah.
Maybe that's the failing of the DC universe and why it isn't as compelling as a bunch of heroes. I actually thought Ryan Reynolds was pretty good in the role.
Yeah.
Like you said, he looked the part. I think he acted it well. But... And I think the smartassness that he had probably could have been worse.
Oh, maybe they could have gone off the deep end.
Maybe
with
if the movie was done 5 years ago or 10 years ago, before some of these great superhero movies like Iron Man and the second Batman movie, the second new Batman movie, you might have something that was even worse. I just think that the script was terrible.
Yeah, and Ryan Reynolds is—he's a decent actor. He's not great, but honestly, he's freaking Sir Laurence Olivier when he's acting against Blake Lively,
who was terrible.
She does not live up to her name. No. She is completely one note.
There's a scene where she's having a beer with Hal Jordan, in a bar, and there's some statement made about him not being responsible, and she sort of laughs. You know, like, ha, ha, ha. Like, that's so funny that you'd say you're not responsible or you're responsible.
Yeah.
And it was the fakiest thing I'd ever heard. And then it was followed up by a song in the jukebox coming on and Hal Jordan trying to get her to dance by sort of humming the tune, which was very uncomfortable.
It was very awkward.
And Jared sort of sliding his hand up my thigh when it was happening made it much worse.
Well, you know, I'm just trying to bring a little action to the theater because things were pretty much at a lull at that point. No, she just... Boy, I don't know if it was poor directing, if they didn't notice or what, but there were a couple times where I felt like she just basically ran through her lines as quickly as possible.
Like, how many takes did they go for?
No, probably one or
maybe
two.
Maybe they should have done a couple more.
It felt a little bit like the Ed Wood school of directing there.
Yeah, if you compare this, and I went back to Iron Man a lot.
Yeah.
In, you know, what Iron Man did was try to avoid the stereotypes and the trappings of all superhero movies. So you've kind of got a smart-ass character in Tony Stark who's supremely confident.
Yep.
But it's the character. It works well.
And that's, you're right.
And in the movie, guess what? Tony Stark didn't get the girl.
No.
You know, it was an assistant, and that was that. Now, they sort of screwed that up in the second one, which you can argue how good the second one was. It really wasn't that good in comparison to the first one. But Green Lantern, if there's ever a superhero movie that's been done before it, this movie has taken from that and just made it happen over and over again with the stuff that you're just saying, why do we have to go through the same old song and dance? And it was really disappointing.
Yeah, I think one of its major failings is that it's not that hard to make a compelling superhero, but you got to have a supporting cast.
Yeah.
And I didn't feel like there were any supporting characters that brought anything to the table. Yeah. You know, going back to Iron Man as a reference, Tony Stark, Iron Man, is very interesting by himself, but he also had a supporting cast of characters that were fun. Pepper Potts was good. You know, even small bit parts like his driver, I forget the character's
name. John Favreau.
Yep.
Cameo in his own movie.
There were a lot of little, you know, character moments that were much, much more interesting than anything that was in this.
And this movie had opportunity, especially with this whole interesting cast of, you know, thousands of alien races, where they sort of blew by that, and then you know, maybe they even humanized them a little too much.
I agree with that. I think Kilowog especially was turned
big
into
big brutish black dude is what he sounded
like. Yeah, he was. It's like, this guy is...
You hate humans, but you act like humans.
He's a caricature is what he is, and that bothered me. Is there anything positive we can take away from this?
I thought that some of the special effects were good.
Yes.
I thought, like, the flying, I felt natural. I think the manifestation of the Green Lantern powers when he's, you know, pulling out his machine guns and stuff like that. I thought that some of that stuff was really interesting. But there's not a lot of positive. And the other thing we didn't talk about was that this movie was delayed for us by about half an hour because they couldn't get the 3D working.
Technical difficulties.
They get it working, and it's blurry the whole time.
Yeah,
and it didn't even look like the 3D added to the movie anyway.
I could have done without the 3D. I don't know. I think, for me, one of my positives, I thought, without giving too much away, I thought the end battle as an action set piece worked pretty well, and I thought it was the way, you know, the villain is eventually defeated was done well.
Considering it was such a shitty villain.
No
pun intended.
That's about really the only way you're going to get rid of him.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Kudos, I guess. I enjoyed it, and it wasn't too long. I think sometimes, you know, the final act of some films can go on way too long, and there's too many permutations to the end battle. This one was kind of short and sweet to the point.
Straightforward.
And hey, here's another positive. The film wasn't too long. It was, I think, it's probably started about 8 o'clock, and credits were rolling about 9:45. So, there you go.
So, let's do one quick prediction. How is this movie going to fare at the box office? Do you think it's going to win the weekend?
What else is it up against?
We've got, What came in first last week? Was it Super 8?
Super 8, but it was only like 30-some million.
Yes.
I think this handily takes the number one slot. Let's throw out a number. Let's see. Thor did, what, 56 million? I think this is going to be probably in that ballpark.
Yeah, I think it might be under 50 if you want to know the truth.
And
it will not hold out for more than
one week. I think it will tumble after
critical
that.
Reviews will be bad.
Pretty rough so far.
Will there be a sequel?
You know, I kind of hope there is, because there's a moment you got to stick around into the credits for one little extra moment. If you're at all familiar with Green Lantern lore, you can probably figure out what that little extra bit is.
They don't make it. They don't make it tricky to find.
I mean, I didn't see anything about it ahead of time, and I knew exactly what was coming, and I was happy. So, if nothing else, I hope that we get a sequel. If so, that little nugget gets to blossom into something good. Now, the sequel could be much better. Origin stories can, you know, they're either good or bad, and this was a bad one, but you hope that they can learn from it and do something better with it in a sequel.
So what we're saying is the first foray into maybe a wider DC universe, if that's what they're trying to do, not so good.
A little bumpy. Yeah.
It does make you wonder how a character like this could play along with a Batman or a Superman or a Wonder Woman. But they're going to have to do better if they're going to make that end up working in the end.
I agree.
So there you go. That is our instant review for Green Lantern. Well done, Jared.
Yep. Should we give it a scope score?
Let's give it a scope score.
The scope score is 1.5 star.
So there you have it.
There you have it.
Green Lantern. Enjoy, suckers.
All right. Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, we find ourselves once again at the end. I hope you've enjoyed our time together. I know I have. Fear not, Scope faithful. Days shall pass as if they were but a moment. And Jared, Adam, and Shane will return with another thrilling episode. Until then, send your comments to comments@thescopeshow.com or leave a voicemail message by dialing
612-21-SCOPE. That's 612-217-2673.
Thanks for listening, faithful fans. This is Tony Partington saying arrivederci. Tune in next time to another terrific edition of The Scope.